It's interesting to me how the Lord refers to us in different ways. When we're born again, we're called His children. We're part of His family. We're brothers and sisters of one another. We're also considered a body with different parts and every part being important in that body, working together to fulfill a purpose. We're also part of an army. He refers to us as an army as well. An army that oftentimes has to deal with conflict, has to deal with stuff, right? And we are also a people who are preparing to be a bride for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's just interesting to me to see the different parts and study out the different parts and see the analogy in each one and how we fit in that place. So we've been talking about teaching, training. Last week I talked about training really in particular and really just putting to practice what you're learning in the Word. It's putting it to work in our lives, not just teaching, but doing something, listening with the intent to obey what you are reading and what you are hearing from the Lord. And how we are called to raise up an army that is well equipped, especially for the day and hour we're living in. We want to be equipped. Amen? The equipping of believers, this word equip is to provide whatever's needed to do a task or to fulfill a role or a purpose. It's to provide you with whatever you need to do that. That's what equipping is. And you know, you think about no army would teach or train their men or their officers and then send them out to battle and not equip them. I mean, not give them a gun, not give them ammo, not give them any kind of weaponry to use. No army would do that. They're not going to teach you, train you, and send you out with no equipment. But a lot of times we forget the Lord wouldn't either, right? He wouldn't do that. But He's actually provided well for us the kind of weaponry we need for our lives. He wants us to be well equipped. Amen? And He's done it for us. There are a few things that I want to look at, one or two in particular this morning. I don't feel like I would cover it all today. I'll maybe, Lord willing, get back into it next week. But He has equipped us to be able to live and walk in this life, in Christ Jesus, in this life, in this world that is full of crazy. Come on. That's full of wickedness, of corruption. And yet He's called us to live in Christ in the middle of this and be able to walk in success and victory. He has equipped us to be able to do that. He's given us the tools we need to do that. And to do it successfully, honorably, and rightly before God. He has equipped us to live in power and strength and to demonstrate it in our life and through our lives for the benefit of other people. He has equipped us to raise our kids and do it well, to be good spouses. Amen. To be good employees, to be good employers, to minister to other people. He's equipped us well for this. And He's equipped us to stand against the strategies of the enemy and win. Whether it's where your finances are concerned, your family, or whatever the situation may be. And so the first thing I want to get into this morning, and we'll really stay on this, is He equips me with His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I remember hearing somebody saying, it sounds to me like it cuts going in and cuts coming out. A two-edged sword is sharper than that. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God equips us. It is powerful. His word is very powerful, and it's a powerful weapon against the enemy and his schemes and his plots and his strategies against us. Amen? It's cool to me that what Jesus used when he went into the wilderness and was tempted by the enemy, you know, the enemy is such a jerk. I mean, he is. Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness, and he's fasting 40 days. They say, I don't know, I've never fasted 40 days. Don't ask me personally, but they say, people who have, say that the first week, especially days, is really hard. Then after that, it's not as big a deal anymore. But after the 40th day, after 40 days, hunger returns. And so after hunger returned, what did the enemy do? Well, if you're the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. Knowing good and well, he's probably hungry at this point, right? What did the Lord do? He answered him with Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the enemy knows what Jesus may be after. He's coming to get the authority back that was lost in the garden, that man lost. And the enemy got it, right? So he says, carries him up on this to this place and says, looking out over all these mountains, and he says, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow to me. See, Jesus was coming back to get the authority. But what the devil wanted was for him to bow to him. And Jesus is like, no. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. That was Deuteronomy 10:20. Jesus wasn't going to do it that way. He was going to do it right and get it back legally, not by bowing to the devil. That's never the way to get anything. Don't ever give way to him for you to get what you think you need. Amen? So then he carries him up to that pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down and he's given his angels charge over you. They'll bear you up in their hands. You'll be all right. Throw yourself down. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And Jesus said from Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God knows how to fight its own fight if we would get a hold of that. If we would learn to get the Word of God coming out of our mouths, the Word of God knows what to do. It does. If we could just get a hold of that. If we would learn and use the Word instead of our own stuff, we would see powerful results because the Word fights its own fight. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 to wage good warfare with the prophetic words that had been spoken over him. Prophetic words are the words that God speaks over you. So you have the written word of God, but you may also have some words that God has spoken over you or to you. And he said, you wage good warfare. What's good warfare? I win. It ain't good if I don't win, right? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to stay there for a little bit. Let's look at the next part of this with the Word. And I have a really cool... Okay, so Alyssa had Kelly's class, and they talked about the armor of God. And we're going to talk about the armor of God. And she had those little boys make a soldier who was armed and ready for battle. Alyssa, please come get him. I don't want to mess him up. Just put him right up here. I don't know if you'll be able to listen to me. You might laugh. He's so cute. So they made their little armor man, okay, their little soldier boy. Ain't he cute? How do you like that red cup helmet? Bob? That's what they named him? All right, Bob the soldier. He's cute though, isn't he? Every once in a while, I don't know if she's going to be able to handle looking up here very much. She's like a kid. She's about to lose it right now. Ephesians 6, verse 10. See, I'm over here. I'm not having to see it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our own ability, but His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a fist fight, okay? This is not a fist fight that we're in. But we are wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That is file and rank of demonic order. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. Let me just tell you what those heavenly places would be. Like, this heaven over us is like the sky. Then there is a second heaven where angelic beings and demonic beings are. That's where they're ruling, okay, from the second heaven. Third heaven is where God's throne resides. They're not there, okay? They are not there in the third heaven. Okay, so the second heaven is what it's talking about when it says spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, all right? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now let's stop and look at these. And I'm going to tell you something that the Lord said to me. I was thinking along the lines of, I mean, I've been teaching this a long time. Okay? And the Lord said, I want you to tell them this, and I want you to as well. Look at this teaching with the armor and so forth. I don't care if you've heard 1,000 times. He said, I want you to look at it with a fresh approach, considering the hour that we are now in. With a fresh approach, considering the hour we're in. So, our weapons are not carnal weaponry, because it's not a carnal fight. It's not flesh and blood, guns, fisticuffs, okay? It's a spiritual battle, and they're spiritual weapons, but they all have to do with the Word of God, every one of them. They all are God's Word, and how His Word covers different parts, all the parts that are needed of our lives. And so I'm gonna give it to you the way He gave it to me, okay? The helmet of salvation shows me how God's Word covers my mind and my thought life, which is probably the biggest battlefield of all, is right here. It's not all out here as much as it is right here between this. That's where the enemy comes, where he makes accusations, where he feeds you lies, crazy thoughts, fearful thoughts, all kinds of horrific things, doubt, unbelief, all this stuff starts going through your mind. And I have His Word as a helmet to cover my mind. Amen. The helmet of salvation, of what He did for me at that cross, covers my mind. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh, so is he. However you play with the thoughts in your mind will start to affect your, you might start agreeing with some of it. You might start believing some of it. You might start responding that way. As a man thinks, so is he. You become that as well. He's given me this helmet to wear to cover my mind. So when thoughts are bombarding your mind, you need to remind yourself, no. I wear a helmet that covers my thought life. Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. And whatever else you got to add in there on that till you get yourself off that ledge. But that helmet will cover you where your thinking and your thought life is concerned. And it's a big battle. I've heard some say if you can win that battle, you've won the battle. I mean, if you can win that one, you've got it. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness and how God's word covers my heart and my vital parts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to turn there, if you just want to jot it down, I'm going to read it anyway. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he made him," he, first being God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that me, who knew no righteousness, could become the righteousness of God through what Jesus did for me. Righteousness means I'm right with God. I'm in right standing with God. Amen? So what he did is he made me right through Jesus Christ. He made me right. Knowing that keeps my heart covered, doesn't it? Knowing that keeps me covered. Now, because I know I've been made right, I desire and should desire to live right, to act right, to do right, to keep a right attitude. Come on. And what is right? Not according to what I think is right. According to what he calls right, okay? What God calls right. The problem with that is that I don't always do right. I know y'all do, but I don't. Sometimes my attitude isn't right. Are y'all with me? Sometimes it's not. At least not according to what he calls right. And because of that, when I miss it, when I err, when I sin, when I miss the mark, it says in 1 John 1:9, if I will confess or own it, if I'll own my sin, in other words, you know, Justin made me mad, and so I did so-and-so and so-and-so, and now I'm trying to act like it's Justin's fault. No, I own what I did. What he did may have angered me, but what I did's on me, right? I ain't trying to mess with you, but you're easy. He don't get offended. He don't get offended. So if I will own it, if I'll confess I did that wrong, then it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So guess what? I'm back right with God again because I owned it. I think it's so cool, the analogy. It's a physical analogy where you're looking at all this armor, this amazing armor up here on this dude. Or if you can picture this helmet and this, you know, this breastplate and so forth. If you can picture that, I love how Paul uses that analogy because in the same way we're covered. Just like these things that he's talking about here in Ephesians 6. And I love that because And the people in that day understood what he was talking about because they saw the Roman soldiers, okay? They knew. They knew what he was talking about. Now, the belt holds everything together, okay? It holds everything together. Everything I put on, everything I wear, everything I'm putting on, the belt of truth is to hold that together. You know, in Ephesians, he tells us to put off the old man and put on the new man who's been recreated in righteousness and true holiness. In Colossians, he says, put on mercy. We need to put on mercy. We need to put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiveness, love. These are things we need to be putting on. Everything I am in Christ, all I am, my right standing, my everything, what I believe, everything I do, is all to be held together with a belt of truth. Amen. And if we could catch that, you know, I don't want to be phony. I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. I want to put these things on, and I want truth to bind it together and hold it tightly. I'm held together by the truth of God's word, of who he says I am, of what he says I can do. I don't want to buy into careless Christianity. I don't want to buy into compromises. I don't want to buy into playing around, playing church here and there. I'm not interested in that. I want to be held together in everything that I'm doing. Listen, I am a daughter of God. I am that man's wife. I am a mother. I am a granny. I am a pastor. And all of that of who I am is to be held together with truth. With truth. The truth of who I am. The truth of what I do is to all be held together. All my inward parts, my vital parts, everything covered and then held together with truth. If it's not held together in truth, yikes, right? And then we are to put on, some translations say the shoes of peace and some translations say boots of peace. But my feet are to be shod or shoed. It's an old English way of saying shod, shoed. My feet are to be shoed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, my feet represent my daily walk. They represent where I go. All right? They represent that. And they are to be covered with his peace. I am to walk in his peace and carry his peace where I go. It's on my feet that I'm carrying it where I go, right? I'm not the carrier of gossip and strife and worry or anxiety. I'm not the carrier of backbiting and criticism. I am the carrier of peace. And peace is not that everything around me is hunky-dory. You know, we can be at peace when everything's going good. When things are going bad, then all of a sudden we're not at peace anymore. Peace has nothing to do with your conditions. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is called the Prince of Peace. So when I put on him to cover my feet, my walk, come on, my walk, when I put on his peace, then where I go, I am walking in his peace, and I'm carrying his peace wherever I go. Amen? Y'all, that's good stuff. I mean, he lives in me. But I have to choose to put on peace. I do. You have to choose to put on peace. You have to choose to walk in peace. And you have to purposefully and sometimes aggressively. Have you ever been about to freak out over one of your kids? Yeah. You got to purposefully put on peace. You do. Now, these shoes are called the gospel of the good news of peace. So no matter where I go, no matter what I walk into, I'm walking in peace and I'm carrying peace with me, and it's good news to those around me. They may be in turmoil. They may be in the middle of a strifeful situation. You may walk up on a mess, but you're carrying peace. You're walking in peace and you're carrying it where you go. Amen? He says in the word here, above all, that we take the shield of faith. But it's not like above all up here. It's saying, actually, if you look it up, it means out in front of it all. Out here in front of it all, I carry the shield of faith. What is seen out here in front of me is my faith walk. That's what's seen, is my faith walk. So my mind is, my thought life is covered by the price he paid for my salvation as a helmet. My heart and my vital parts are covered by his righteousness, that he made me right with God through what he did for me. All I am and all I'm wearing is held together by the belt of truth. My feet and where I go, my daily walk, is covered by the good news of peace. And now out in front of all of this is a shield of faith, which is my confidence in God and his word. Amen? Or what he's spoken to me. So if attack comes, I've got a shield out here that I can throw out here against it. And this shield of faith in God and in his word is to stop the fiery darts that the wicked one would throw at me. If there's attack against my family, you better know the shield's going out there, right? Amen. The shield's going out there. If crisis comes, my confidence is in God and his word and his ability to protect me and to protect my family. And it's this shield out here. Again, I love the analogy that Paul uses because the people would understand this. Now, there's something that Roman soldiers would do to their shields. The shield's out in front, and it stops these arrows from hitting me, right? It's going to protect me, but it protects me when it's kept in good shape. And so what they would do, they took good care of their shields, and we need to take care of our faith. Amen. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say this. I thought about this morning. He would say, my body can't live off the nutrition of a steak I ate a week ago. Come on. And we're not called to live off last week's word either. Okay? What these guys would do, and it's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Not having heard, but hearing and hearing the word. And so what they would do is they would, first of all, the shield is made out of leather, layers and layers of leather that are put together to make it thick and sturdy and durable. What they would do is they would take that shield and soak it in water, like word, to make it pliable, to make it soft. Then after it dried, they rubbed it with oil. Oil, Holy Spirit. Amen? And our faith walk is the same way. We need to keep it tended to with time in the Word and time in His presence, time with the Lord. Amen? Time in His presence. After conflict, especially after conflict, the first thing they would want to do is go back and tend to their shields. It's one of the first things they would want to do. Go back and tend to that shield. You know, when you've been in battle, maybe you've had a long bout of something. I think about the Roe family. You know, maybe you've been in a long bout with something. Then it's time to go back. It's time to go back and re-soak your shield. You know, you've been fighting a while, you've been standing a while, you've been doing warfare a while, or whatever it happens to be, whether it's your family or whatever it happens to be. But when we've been through stuff, after that, we need to go back and get in the Word and get time in His presence. It strengthens us. It strengthens our faith. And we are called to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know what the word just means? Those who've been made right. We already talked about right, so righteousness. Those who've been made right. It says the just, the ones who've been made right, are to live by faith. Now there's another thing about the shield of faith. This is really cool to me as well. And that is if you look it up, it actually says, the shield actually says a large door. It's a large shield. It's like this big door that will cover me. Okay? It's going to cover me. And the way they're designed, these shields, the way they make them, they're designed to be able to join together with others, with other shields. I love that. I love that. This is like when you guys are dealing with something, we started joining our faith with you. You know, when you're going through something, we join our faith together with you. We come up beside you with our shield of faith and join our faith together with your faith in this circumstance. You might be taking fire and we're needing to join up together with you. Amen? How about the word says one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. That's exponential power right there when you got a couple of folks in agreement. And Jesus said it himself, talking about the power of the prayer of agreement. If any two of you would agree as touching anything, it would be done by the Father. That's powerful to me. So when you're under assault, you need to let your neighbor know. You need to let your friend know. You need to let somebody know who'll join their faith with you. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I really liked the movie Gladiator. It was a good movie. But all I could think about the whole time I was watching the movie was this right here in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm like, that's what reminds me of what Paul said, you know. I couldn't. Now, there was one part in there, that brother who really needs deliverance. I mean, he's a sick puppy. But he needs Jesus in the movie, okay? Other than that, the movie is a good movie. And what happens is they are out there. He wants Maximus dead. He hates him. He's jealous of him, that sick brother. And so he wants him dead. You take all these guys that are in prison and you put them out there in the center of that Colosseum, of that arena, to fight one another. Oh, they'll throw lions out there. And then you are up here. All these people are in the stands. This is entertainment for some reason. Until they're dead. Okay? And so They had Maximus, which is Russell Crowe in the movie. They have him out here with all these other guys and all this intense warfare going on, letting out the lions, et cetera, et cetera. But then all of a sudden, on the sides, these gates open up and out come chariots. And you've got soldiers up on these chariots coming through, and you've got these guys just standing here with a sword, you know, hardly any other kind of armor on to defend themselves. And these guys on the chariots, they've got it all going on. And they are running on these, with these horses and coming all up. And that's when Russell Crowe gives out the order as one. And they all bend down and pull their shields together. And it made a complete wall all the way around them to protect them. Except for there was these big old spikes on the wheels of those chariots, and it was coming through anyway. I mean, it was really tough on them anyhow. And so there came a place where he gave a really powerful strategy move. And it is real. You can look it up. It is a real strategy for those days. And he said, they're holding their shields locked together like a wall of doors. And he says, hold, hold. And then he hollers, diamond. And when he said that, they tilt their shields. And when everybody tilted their shields, the chariots came by, hit the side of that thing, and they all flipped over. Bam. Strategy. Strategy with the shield. I loved it. It was all, I'm like, that's Ephesians 6 right there. Except we're not wrestling with them, thank God, but against principalities and powers. And our weaponry is not carnal weaponry, but it's mighty through God. It's mighty weaponry. Amen. Y'all okay? I'm just saying, shields joined together is powerful. And we've been given mighty weapons to stand against the strategies of the enemy. Okay, the last one of these weapons in Ephesians 6 is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God coming out of my mouth is like a sword to use, okay? The Amplified says it like this. It says, the sword which the Spirit wields. In other words, it's a word that is given by the Holy Spirit for me to use in the middle of combat, in the middle of warfare, in the middle of attack of the enemy, whatever terminology you want to call it. But it's a word that the Holy Spirit gives me to use specifically in that situation. It could be a verse. It could be a word he speaks. I mean, it doesn't have to be a certain thing. It's what he gives you to use against your enemy. Now, when Justice was born, when she dilated to 8, his heartbeat was gone. It left. They rushed her out. They did an emergency C-section. They worked on him. They delivered him, and he was not alive when they delivered him. And they worked on him for a bit. And then they put him on a cooling bed, and Greenville came and got him. In the meantime, though, Dr. Ponzi came back into the room, Kelly's room. I was in there, and Josh was in there. And he starts talking about the complications, what had happened, and the complications of going that long with no oxygen to your brain, and all of the things that could be wrong with him. All of the things that could be, you know, brain damage, et cetera. I mean, he's going through all these things to try to tell. Now, they're standing over there in the room. It's not a big room. They're standing over there in the room, and I'm over here, and I'm going to tell you something. It came up out of me, and I heard it when they heard it. It came right up out of me, and later the Holy Spirit said, that was a sword of the Spirit. And I said, no one that God ever raised from the dead had to be concerned about brain damage. No one. And they both went like, oh, you know, whoa. I kind of did too, because it just came out of my mouth. It was a sword of the Spirit to be spoken right then in that moment. Amen? Now, this sword in the Greek, and I'm not saying it right, so if y'all try to repeat it, don't tell him I said it like this, okay? It says Makaira. And it is actually a sword-like dagger. It's not this big, long thing that I'm swinging around. It's like a dagger. If by chance lie or accusation or hurtful words, flat-out attack, if those things get thrown at me and they get stuck in my shield of faith, ever had anything get stuck in your shield? Come on. Yeah, you probably have. Then I have this little dagger called a sword of the Spirit. That's a word God gives me, woo, in time, and I pop that thing right out, just like that.
Yeah.
That is powerful right there. That's powerful. It's used to quench, to get rid, to not to quench, but to pull out every hurtful, fiery dart that the enemy would throw. I have this dagger called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I will remove it. Amen. Listen, there is nothing that addresses a lie or an accusation or a hurt word or anything like that. There's nothing that addresses it any better than the truth coming out of your mouth. Lie don't cast out lie. Truth casts out lie. When the Holy Spirit gives you a word, you better know it's truth. I can also use this against the enemy in close combat, like, you know, if he wants to get up too close, bam. You see, I'm not really good at sounds. My kids make fun of me. She could do it. Guys are really good with stuff like that. I really stink at it. But y'all get the message. You get the point, don't you? Yeah, you do. Now, there's another part, a very powerful part of the equipping of the Word of God. Next week, I'm going to get into the equipping of the Holy Ghost, Lord willing. And I've got a lot He's put in my heart. But today, I feel like there's this other part we need to touch on with the Word of God that's very important, and that is angelic help. Angelic help. Psalm 103:20. Yeah. I was so backwards. I was doing Psalm 120. I'm like, that is not right. I know the verse I'm after. I probably could quote it, but I might quote it with a mixture of Amplified and Passion and King James, you know. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. The Amplified says, hearkening. What do we do when we're listening, taking heed? What is it we said last week? It means we're listening with the intent of following through with action, right? They hearken, they take heed to the word, the voice of the word. Who's giving voice to the word? You are. We are. As we give voice to the word, they are heeding that voice. Why? To help carry it out. They hearken to do the voice of God's word as you release that word. So when you begin to declare the word of God over your life or over your children or over your finances or whatever, you can have the help of angels getting involved in your life. Hebrews says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? They are. They absolutely are. You know, when you start to declare God's word over your life and you are intentionally declaring God's word, you have angels who are ready to hearken to that word anytime that there's need. You may be in the crisis saying that word, or you may just live a lifestyle where you declare that word and they are always right there ready to take care of it. My mother worked an insurance route. It was a man's job. She was gone till 9 and 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night, about every night, except Thursdays and Sundays. And we have not been known to have to go out and collect on Sunday evening after church, a time or two here and there. On the weekends, especially the first of the month, she was an insurance collector, and it was weekly premium. It was for people who could not afford or didn't have a job that carried insurance. And so they could pay it by weekly premium, being more affordable. She would go out, and on weekends or the beginning of the month, she would have a lot of money because a lot of people get paid monthly, or on weekends they'd be getting paid. She'd be getting her pay for insurance. And so she'd have a lot of money on her. But Mama was one who always said, people would say, Miss Crowe, aren't you scared to be out here at night? And she'd say, Lord, no. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ with me and angels that are with me all the time. I ain't scared of nobody. She always said that. I went with her on the route, so I know what she said. Well, one time, these guys told her, they said, "Miss Crow, we would never hurt you. We've known you all our lives. We would never hurt you. But we knew you had a lot of money because it was the weekend. And we had every intention of snatching your purse and robbing you. We would have never hurt you. We had every intention of snatching your purse. And as we got closer to you, there were these really big men. They were huge. And they showed up right there. And they looked like they would kill us. And we took off in fear." Who do you reckon those men were? Another time, the same type story happened. "Oh, Miss Crow, we would have never hurt you. But we was getting your money. We were going to get your money." And they said, "We had a plan how we would do it. And we were going to run, grab the purse and go." And he said, "We start running and we hit a wall. We can go anywhere." I've been with her before when she'd walk up on the porch. I'm walking up, she's walking up, and they know I'm the kid, okay? And the man said, "Lord, Miss Crow, who's that man you got with me?" She said, "Nobody except maybe the Lord Jesus Christ or angels." And he went, "Whoa," just like that. Whoa. I'm telling you, she believed the word and she declared the word all the time and she got angelic help. She got angelic help, maybe more times than they ever told her. That's two we know of. Okay? I used to, when I started getting into the Word, I came home with Kelly. I was already born again, but I really started getting into the Word when I came home with Kelly. And I began to learn things that I wanted to declare from the Word over my children every day. And one of them was from Psalm 91, where it says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I would always add, or any other thing that would harm me. And I would declare that over my kids every day. "Lord, I thank you that there are angels who bear up my children in their hands. And they bear them up and they will keep them in all their ways. If they dash their foot against a stone or any other thing that would harm them, they will look out for them." And I remember one day I was praying about a situation I had concern about. And I had a vision. And if it wasn't the first, it was one of the first. And it was, I saw Carrie walking down a hallway at the school. And I saw two angels on each side of her. And the next scene, I saw Christy walking down the hallway of the old Eastern Wayne Elementary building that's torn down now. She was walking down that hallway, and there were angels on both sides of her. I'm telling you, when you begin to declare, and you're intentionally declaring God's word, there are angels who are actively dispatched in your help, in your situation. They are actively dispatched to guard, to protect, to even war against if necessary. They will. And, you know, it says that after Jesus dealt with those three temptations after he had fasted and then he had those three temptations in the wilderness and he answered with the word, and it said afterwards the angels came and ministered to him. Maybe after a long bout of warfare, they might minister to you. I don't know. I think they would. I think they could. Amen? The key is this. They're hearkening to the word, the voice of the word. I'm giving voice to the word of God out of my mouth. That's why I said what I did over my kids. Somebody asked me one time, "What's the stuff you say over your children every day?" I say, "This." I quote scripture over my kids. I don't be making up stuff. I quote the scripture. You're giving voice to the word. So when you're in a situation, something kicks off and is not going well, and the enemy brings attack or whatever is happening, I don't want just any kind of words coming out of my mouth. I don't want to just be throwing out a bunch of stuff. I want the Word of God to be coming out of my mouth. It's my armor, and it invokes angels on my behalf. Now, I'm going to close with this. A lot of times, in the middle of conflict or warfare, or I'm under attack, or this crisis is going on, or this, whatever it may be that you would call it, a lot of times when we get into things like that, whether it's our kids, our job, in our homes, or whatever, when we become anxious, when we become worried, when we start getting stressed out and flipping out, it is because we have forgotten that I actually have the equipment I need for this. Are you hearing me? We forget, where's my helmet? Where is my shield? Are you hearing me? I'm serious as I can be. Haven't you ever? I had the Lord ask me one time, where is your faith? And I said, I don't know. I was so upset. I don't know. I'll tell you what it did, though. It provoked me to find that faith, didn't it? Yeah, I remember that very well. We forget that He has trained us. We forget that He has equipped us with His Word that knows how to fight battles. It does a good job when we use it. Our problem is we get into us first, then we got to figure out how to get out of me and find those shoes of peace, right? And Cookie's going to remind you, you choose peace. She will remind you of that one. Where is your peace? Go find them shoes, girl. The Lord doesn't lead you into a battle that He's not equipped you for. He did not lead Jesus into the wilderness without equipping Him first. It seemed a little bit cruel, like, dog, He just was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. See, we want to protect from things, and He's like, no. No, I've given Him what He needs to do it. So that you can learn from Him how to do it too. Come on. Are you hearing me? He did it as an example to show us how to do stuff. The things He did. The Father's saying, He's all right. I equipped Him for this. And a lot of times, you are okay. You just forgot you were equipped. You forgot you left all your stuff in the closet or somewhere. It's the truth. All right. You had enough? I like it, personally. I like it a lot. And I need to be reminded of it a lot. I really do. I need to be reminded of it a lot. Another thing the Lord said to me about this. He said, again, I want you to listen with a fresh approach, especially given the hour that you live in. Don't be so familiar with the things of the Word that you can't learn more. Don't be so familiar that you can't learn more. Every time I get into stuff like this, I learn more. And it becomes more and more real inside my heart. Amen? So, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is powerful. We love Your Word. It really marks us. It changes us. It transforms how we think about stuff. It transforms our lives. And when it changes how we think about stuff, that actually helps me in my family. It helps me with my children. It helps me in life. It helps me in this church because my thinking gets changed. And I begin to think like You think. And I begin to look at things from Your perspective instead of mine. Or what's going on around me. Lord, thank You. We thank You for the Word of God. It is our armor. And it is good and powerful armor that works when it is used. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for watching over Scott and Melissa. and ministering healing and restoration to him and refreshing and rest to his body and to her. We thank you, Lord, you are Miss Diane's healer as well. And we ask you to minister to her in your great mercy and grace. We ask you to minister to Miss Diane. And anybody else who's dealing with some of the junk that's been going around, we just declare the word of the Lord over them. Himself took our infirmities and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. We declare the healing of the Lord, the healing work, the finished work of Calvary over all of our people and all of our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything before we go?